We're now joined by retired judge and legal services Ombud Siraj Desai, who has confirmed he'll be monitoring the disciplinary proceedings involving Cape Town attorney Kamila Polsa. So this follows a Legal Practice Council Appeals Tribunal ruling that found prima facie evidence of misconduct. Desai says the matter raised by complainant Asif Kasuji warrants thorough investigation due to its sensitivity. Honourable Judge Siraj Desai. Judge Desai, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam and assalamu alaikum to your listeners.
Good to have you on, sir. Judge Desai, can you perhaps briefly explain the role of the Legal Services Ombud in overseeing matters generally and then perhaps this one specifically?
Yeah, let me start off by saying that the legal profession is regulated by Legal Practice Council. Mm. We monitor the legal practitioners and the council itself as well in terms of the act. In this specific case, we have not been monitoring it. We weren't aware of it until the appeal results became known. But first, let me record that I should be pleased to know that the appellate tribunals are now functioning. It's the first one where a judgment of any significance has been given, so we welcome that. The appeals tribunal consists not simply of lawyers, but it also consists of lay people, at least one lay person. A lay person means an ordinary person, not a lawyer, and it comes from a panel of lay people I have set up, so the Ombud has set up. And they must choose somebody from that list to sit on this panel. So I'm glad it's working and that it's worked in this instance. It worked in the sense that I'm not fully aware of all the details behind the situation, saying that there's a judgment and know what the issue is all about. That this issue is a significant one because it's a complaint by a layperson against an attorney in the middle of litigation. Now, that's unusual. But what, and I'm not saying that the attorney in this case did anything wrong. Mm. That's yet to be decided. The matter is now referred back to the LPC to decide whether she was right or wrong. But whilst I'm in public, let me just say this. It does concern me, though, that in matters involving matrimonial affairs, especially where there are one or other of the parties is more wealthier than the norm, that the attorneys litigate aggressively and pushing up the cost, not to advance the interest of the child or the family, or the unity of the family, but to advance the pecuniary ends. It's been worrying me a bit because we're getting a number of these complaints in matrimonial affairs, matrimonial disputes, where people have been complaining about the cost and the amount of litigation involved. Now, this gives us an opportunity for the matter to be investigated. I'm not saying that this attorney is at fault, but certainly it warrants investigation by somebody who has an ear to the ground and knows what is happening in this sort of litigation. Why sensitive is this? Because attorneys are prone to protect not simply their colleagues, but also the bank balances. So it's a bit sensitive in that regard. But I'm the ombud of the legal profession. I represent the interests of those who have been litigants and who are the victims of legal excesses by the legal profession. So I'm happy to do that. When I said I'm monitoring it, I meant that I'm monitoring from now onwards. Mm. The office will have an interest in this matter to see that it is properly ventilated. Because the result of this decision means that it goes back to the investigating committee. Now, we want it properly investigated to see whether the appellate tribunal was right or wrong, and to see, and also for the there to be recommendations made for the future. You know, we as the Ombuds office can make recommendations for the changes in the law, and besides matrimonial affairs matters, the question of costs of the incurred by people going to lawyers is a principle, is a matter of principal concern for me, because lawyers are expensive. Mm. Lawyers are unduly expensive. Few people who can charge 50,000 rand a day as advocates do. And few people in charge, 20,000 and just were sitting in court as an advocate, as few, as many attorneys do. So I think one must put the legal profession to terms in that regard, in the way they incur costs. Now, that can only be brought about, firstly, by mindset, a change in mindset by the legal profession itself, that they must realize the profession not a money-making machine. And secondly, if we cannot control them by their own, they cannot control themselves, that will introduce more legislation to do that. Legislation that will bring about a more reasoned approach in the charging of fees for clients and for legal work. You know, more and more people are afraid to go to lawyers. They're afraid of the long-term costs that would entail. And I don't blame them. Even a middle-class person can't really afford to go to a lawyer. Mm. The fear of costs. You know, if you have a house and you litigate and you lose, you're in danger of losing your home. So most people avoid going to courts because of that. That should not be. And we don't all qualify for legal aid. So if you're either very poor or you're very rich, can you afford to litigate freely and merrily as you go along? Most of us will eventually be excluded from the legal profession itself and in seeking justice for ourselves and for our respective interests. Do you want to ask something? I mean, speaking...
Yes.
Uninterrupted.
No problem. Just two things, Judge Desai, before we conclude. In your experiences over the years, common complaints of misconduct in matrimonial legal disputes. I'm sure you've probably encountered many over the years. And then in reference to this particular case, because you're saying going forward you will be monitoring it, do you think there's a likelihood of this particular case possibly setting a precedent for the future?
Let's start off with the first thing. I mean, there have been miscarriages in the way in which matrimonials are conducted. So I'll just emphasize one point. That is, there's no irregularities as such. There may be perfectly valid reasons to engage in litigation. But this continuous and intense litigation, simply unwarranted by facts of a matter, may be legal but hardly ethical in the cost results of the client. Do you understand that? Mm. It's legal to do it. But is it morally tenable that because you're fighting over your child and you're a wealthy man, lose hundreds of thousands of rand because of the intense litigation that's being pursued. That's the principal point here. Mm. Whether one could simply literally litigate in the belief that I'm doing nothing wrong. And that's the one point. The second, whether this will create a precedent, no. We can extract the principle from it. The investigation committee will have to deal with it and probably issue a reasoned decision, which they expect from them here. And that reasoned decision may itself be the subject of court decisions. You see, the problem with decisions of investigating committees and the appellate tribunal is that they don't create precedent. They can't be followed by the courts. Only courts can create precedent. They can be weighty in putting forward arguments, but they do not create in themselves precedent for all to follow. We can follow that through, necessarily take it onto a review to a court and try to create precedent in that regard. Or simply speak to the powers that be, say the law has to be changed to accommodate not simply the interests of the legal profession, that is always protected, but to protect the interests of the poor who are compelled to litigate in the courts, but in this sort of case also, the interests of the rich who are compelled to litigate in the courts and are dragged through a long process of litigation simply because they're rich. That's also wrong. I should be the wrong person to defend the rich. I come from Salt River, but I do in this sort of situation. Yeah. But you know, it's got to be fairness about these things. And that fairness is placed in jeopardy by aggressive litigation. That, I use that term advisedly, aggressive litigation in matrimonial. There is absolutely no reason for the parties to be aggressive. The fight is about child custody, child access.
Mm.
You know, I was 25 years on a bench, and very rarely do we actually hear argument about matrimonial, a divorce not going through. Mm. In one instance in 25 years, I actually had to hear the divorce. And there's very not much at stake. There's a couple who came from Zimbabwe to South Africa, and they were just, one was caught with the other, and I had to hear 4 days of argument and evidence to divorce them.
Mm.
A month later, I met them at the waterfront, and they were reconciled. So the only person who really benefited from this, I don't even think it was the attorneys who benefited.
Mm.
I knew the advocates, and those advocates never settled any matrimonial. You see, now that sort of situation should be dealt with in our courts and through investigatory litigation.
Judge Siraj Desai, Jazakallah, thanks so much for joining us on PM Drive, sir.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you. Salaam.